You're listening to KNKX. One of the big decisions Washington voters face this election is whether to impose a fee on carbon emissions. That's the air pollution that comes from fossil fuels used in industry and transportation. 2 years ago, voters here rejected an initiative for a revenue-neutral carbon tax that had bipartisan support. This time, more stakeholders got involved and came up with a new proposal. They want the fees collected to be invested in programs for clean air and clean energy, but they're up against stiff opposition from big oil. KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe has the story.
Some of the state's heaviest hitters are chiming in on Initiative 1631, and there's a lot of money on both sides. Among the most prominent supporters is Governor Jay Inslee. He's been trying for years to put a price on carbon. This summer, he joined campaigners at Westlake Park in Seattle to gather signatures and get the measure on the ballot.
It's going to help children breathe, have cleaner air, and I think that's the best reason for this. For our kids, because that's what's most important to us.
Inslee says Initiative 1631 is also a job creation program for the clean energy sector. At a recent campaign press conference, he said the oil industry is trying to fool people into voting against those jobs.
They have flooded our air with pollution, and they have flooded our airwaves with distortion.
The No campaign, with 99% of its funding from big oil, has amassed more than $26 million, setting a new state record for spending against an initiative. They're broadcasting ads like this one from former Attorney General Rob McKenna, who you might remember ran against Inslee in the race for governor in 2012.
As Attorney General, consumer protection was my top priority. That's why I'm speaking out against I-1631. This new energy tax exempts many of the state's largest polluters.
The initiative does exempt several large polluters, including the TransAlta coal power plant in Centralia and trade-exposed industries such as steel and aluminum producers and Boeing. But the yes side says TransAlta is shutting down 5 years after the policy would take effect, and putting the fee on it would undo that deal. And they want to make sure they have locally produced steel and aluminum to build wind turbines and solar panels. They also don't want the initiative to be a job killer. Becky Kelly is president of the Washington Environmental Council, one of several groups that helped write the initiative. She says it's carefully designed through the work of dozens of organizations and tribes.
It really was built from the ground up by a very broad coalition, including environmentalists, labor unions, communities of color, climate action-oriented businesses.
She says they wrote a policy that will reduce pollution and deliver clean energy to communities all over the state. So what does the initiative actually say? It would charge big polluters $15 per ton of carbon they emit starting in 2020. That fee would go up by $2 per ton every year until the state meets its reduction goal for 2035 of 20 million metric tons of carbon. The money collected goes into a fund for investments in programs to address carbon pollution. Because it's a fee, not a tax, it can only be spent on carbon-related problems and solutions. But the reality is, no one really knows at this point how much carbon reduction the board can actually deliver because they don't yet have a spending plan. Opponents say this is a fatal flaw. Dana Bieber is coalition spokeswoman for the No on 1631 campaign.
I think one thing we can all agree on is climate change is a serious issue and it deserves a serious response. But unfortunately, 1631 isn't a serious response. It's ineffective and costly.
So how much will it cost? That depends on how much of the fees the big polluters pass along to consumers. Experts mostly agree that it'll be about 14 cents per gallon of gas in the first year. But the overall cost will include bills for electricity and most heat, too. Here's Becky Kelly's answer for the Yes campaign.
Our assessments by folks out in the community who've looked at this think that it'll be about $13 per household per month. And I think what you have to look at is what you're getting for that. You're getting access to clean energy. You're getting cleaner solutions. You're getting cleaner air. You're getting more jobs in your community, more tax revenues from those jobs.
And over time, Kelly says, the oil and gas companies won't be able to pass along as much cost because more people will be using electric cars and sustainable energy that fossil fuel companies will have to compete with. So she expects the cost to eventually go down. And she thinks it's worth it for households to pay a total cost of about $156 per year on average to start with. Contrast that with the no side. Here's Dana Bieber citing a study commissioned by the oil companies.
It determined that families would pay an additional $440 a year in just the first year alone in increased costs under 1631. And at the same time, we don't know how the money is going to be spent because there is an unelected board with no real accountability that's responsible for doling out $30 billion.
I-1631's backers disagree that the board would be unaccountable. It would be appointed by the governor to draft a spending plan that would be designed to meet the state's carbon reduction goals. They'd review the plan every 4 years to make sure it's working and would be ultimately under supervision of the legislature. But how the Clean Energy Fund is invested is perhaps the most important question, says analyst Mark Hafstad with the Washington, D.C.-based think tank Resources for the Future. He's been studying carbon policy for the past decade and says the price that I-1631 puts on carbon is really pretty low. It probably won't get many people out of their cars at first. That makes good investments in clean energy alternatives crucial.
The success of the policy is going to depend on how effective those investments are at reducing emissions.
That means projects that deliver the most bang for the buck, like solar panels in the sunniest areas of the state, or wind turbines in especially gusty places.
If it does pass, people will be watching really closely to see how the Washington households are actually changing their behavior, and they'll be watching to see how those investments are spent and if they're effective at reducing emissions.
Nevis Dolshock, professor and associate director at the UW School of Marine and Environmental Affairs, says the carbon pricing policy of I-1631 isn't perfect, but most policies aren't.
So the question comes down to, do we want to hold off and wait until we have the perfect policy, which I believe we will never have, because that's just impossible in the political system? Or do we say yes to a policy which we know is not perfect, but gets us started, forces us to rethink how we are pricing fossil fuels, forces us to rethink our decisions with respect to technologies that we're investing in, and adjust as we go.
For most Washington voters, it'll likely come down to weighing the urgency of addressing climate change with the effects of this measure on their pocketbooks, as well as whether they would trust a newly appointed public oversight board and the legislature to spend their investments wisely. Bellamy Palethorpe, KNKX News.